Two brothers, Ryan, age 5, James, age 8. We're waiting on the first pancake from Mama's griddle. And they were arguing about who was going to get the first one. And so Mom sees a teachable moment, and Mom says, well, if Jesus were here, Jesus would just say, give the first pancake to my brother. So James says, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. How generous of him. Another, I don't know if this is true, I'm assuming it was, but you know how that goes. 4-year-old was praying, and he was trying to pray the Lord's Prayer, and he said this. This is the best he could remember, I guess. Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Sometimes somebody putting trash in my basket makes for war and not peace. Amen? Sometimes wanting the first pancake will make for war instead of peace. And we're going to talk about peacemakers. So let's read the Beatitudes together. Yes, all of them again. Read with me. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Of course, we're going to settle on blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What is a peacemaker? The word actually means a peace founder, someone who builds a foundation so that peace can happen. It's not necessarily a negative thing trying to regain or restart peace. It's actually a proactive thing where you are creating a scenario where peace can thrive. I want to read a quote to you. It's from one of those many books in there in the library, my library. Yeah, I read some of them every now and then. But we're describing shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And even though that word is not used in the New Testament because it's written in Greek, for the Jewish people, by the time that Greek was the predominant language, the word and the concept of shalom in the Hebrew culture had already transformed their attitude about the Greek word, eirene, which means peace. So here you go, shalom. Peace means much more than mere absence of war. Completeness, wholeness, harmony, fulfillment are closer to the meaning. Implicit in shalom is the idea, hear this, of unimpaired relationships with others and fulfillment in one's undertakings. Shalom was the result of God's activity in covenant with His people. It was the result of His manifest presence among His people. It brought shalom, completeness. Let's just call it wholeness to summarize all that up. Wholeness. Peace is not merely stopping conflict. It's a state of wholeness and well-being in relationships with God, with yourself, and with other people. It means nothing broken, as I've heard some preachers say, nothing broken, nothing stolen, nothing twisted, nothing missing. Wholeness. So what steals our peace. The opposite of wholeness. And that is division, fracture, being less than whole, creates disturbance within us and between us and between us. Something less than wholeness. I was scanning through the internet looking for some stories about bridges, because I'm going to use a bridge as a metaphor for what I'm talking about today. And I discovered that just this past week, and for you truck drivers, beware. Those that are traveling through Memphis, beware. This is one of the main beams on the bridge over the Mississippi River from Memphis over to West, what is it? Yes, West Memphis, isn't it? It's West Memphis, Arkansas. They were inspecting this bridge. It was inspected 3 months ago, and yet it was fine then, but they found this crack, and they have shut down all traffic over this major bridge that 40,000 vehicles go over every day, many of them trucks that are bringing you your orders from Amazon. Yeah. Oh, somebody's going, oh no. My fireworks won't get here. Not only that, they're not even letting barge traffic go under it on the Mississippi River. That's how concerned they are about this breach of stability, this division, this fracture in this bridge that connects cities and connects the heart of our nation. It is broken. And it's causing all kinds of uproar. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 25. Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. You see, wholeness is impossible in a house divided against itself. Why? Because there's two parts at least. Wholeness is impossible in a house divided against itself. And let me add, it's impossible in a heart. Wholeness is impossible in your heart if your heart is divided against itself. Wholeness is impossible in a household, in a family, if it's divided against itself. It's impossible in a church if it's divided against itself. Peace becomes impossible because real, true peace from God is wholeness. It can't stand. It's broken into dysfunctional factions, missing key components for well-being and wholeness. It's like a broke bone. Anybody here ever had a broke bone? Raise your hand. You ever had a broke bone? About half of us had a broke bone. You want that thing to heal correctly, right? I mean, many times one of the painful deals about a broke bone is setting the bone. What are they doing? They're trying to align it so the fracture can heal. And if it's not ever aligned, there will not be wholeness of movement. There will not be wholeness of function. It has to be realigned and rejoined together to regain wholeness. Just like that bridge is going to have to be worked on, because it connects people. It connects cities. When our head and our heart don't line up, we've got a division and we lose peace because we're divided within. When our head and heart don't line up with Jesus, we lose peace. Amen? We lose peace when our heart and mind is not lined up with Christ. We'll talk more about that in just a minute, why that is. And we lose peace because we're divided. And when we lose peace with Jesus and we lose peace in our heart, guess what usually happens? We lose peace with other people. It's just a natural result. A peacemaker strives for wholeness by healing fractures that divide and destroy. A peacemaker, Jesus is saying, you're blessed if you're a peacemaker. What does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker strives for wholeness by healing fractures that divide and destroy us, between us and God, between our hearts and our minds and our own selves, and between us and other people. That's what a peacemaker works for. Scripture tells us multiple times we need to pursue peace. Not just pray for it. Pursue peace. Here's some scriptures for you real quick. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with all people. Romans 14, 19. So then we pursue things which make for peace and the building up of one another. This is not a laissez-faire approach. Peace requires maintenance. Peace requires maintenance. Peace requires pursuit and preparation. I can tell you this. Engineers from two states and the federal government are pursuing peace for that bridge right now. Because it's a mess. And I'm telling you, I am experienced at getting lost in Memphis. We used to drive through Memphis going to Bible college back in the day, and I'm telling you, it was one of the most confusing freeway setups I'd ever seen. And inevitably, I ended up missing that bridge that I needed to be on. I don't know how, but I did. And I'm telling you, trying to navigate without that bridge in place is going to be a madhouse. For some of you, you remember when they were redoing the bridges in Birmingham about a year or so ago? You remember, I know Birmingham. I can go anywhere in Birmingham. But some of you, you dreaded going through Birmingham while they were working. You dreaded anyway, but you dreaded it during that time because you had to get off and go all kinds of places. There's several things I want to tell you about peace. Number one is true peace is rooted in Christ Himself. Pastor Seth made this clear a moment ago, and he just started preaching my sermon. He didn't even know it. True peace is rooted in Jesus Himself. There is no peace if there is no Jesus. Period. Don't care how strong the military is. Don't care how prosperous a nation is. Don't care how intelligent or how vigilant they are. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. Period. That doesn't denigrate the sacrifice of our military for all these hundreds of years. We believe it's the mercy of God that has allowed America to be what we've been for so long. Don't we? John 16, 33, Jesus tells His disciples, they're at the moment of having to face the fact that He's going to the cross. And I did it again. I didn't move my scripture reference down in the bottom. Let me help you with it. You know this verse anyway. These things I have spoken to you so that in me, say in me, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That's that word. But take courage. I have overcome the world. In me you have peace. As long as you're connected to me, you're connected to the ruler of the universe. When you're connected to me, you are connected to the one that makes you whole. When you're connected to me, I have bought for you and I am for you everything that makes for peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus was coming up over the hill of Jerusalem just right before He would have said this to His disciples. And if you go to the book of Luke, you hear Him saying this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known what makes for your peace, but you have missed the day of your visitation. Jesus makes for my peace. You see, if I've got the Prince of Peace inside me, I can have peace when the world is at war around me. Because He is peace. He is wholeness. He is completeness. He is well-being. He is that. So true peace is rooted in Christ himself. Colossians, Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:19. I did it again, but you can see it's Colossians. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He bought our connection with him, giving us access to his wholeness. His desire is unity with us, unity within us, and unity between us. Nothing missing, nothing twisted, nothing broken. That's wholeness. That's peace. Second thing about peace, true peace begins within. True peace always begins within a person's heart. It doesn't begin around us. It begins within us. Peace is an inside job as we have communion with the Prince of Peace. Peace is an inside job. Say it. It's an inside job. Tell your neighbor, it's an inside job. It's an inside job. It's not an outside condition. It is an inside condition. If I'm in harmony, here's how this works. If I'm in harmony with Christ, I can live at peace with myself and with you. If I'm in harmony with Christ, if I'm in line, if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm walking in surrender and trust in Christ, I can be at peace with myself and with other people. Amen? When I walk with Christ, I either line up with Him or I begin to separate myself from the blessings of His presence. And then I'm divided from Him and soon divided within my heart and head and eventually divided from other people. Simply because I went this way and Jesus went that way. And it's like, you know, it says in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of God is the traffic cop of our hearts. And if I go this way and I lose peace, I might want to stop and pray. Amen? Peace depends on the alignment of the head and the heart. The war within our chest or the war within our head is the starting point for destruction. Because a heart or a head divided against itself cannot be whole. You hearing me? A heart or a head divided against itself, I'm talking about within each of us, cannot be whole. If it's divided, you have lost your peace. And it's time to get on your knees and say, Jesus, where did I lose it at? What is divided within me? Is my attitude divided from your word? Is my desire divided from your desire for me? Is my belief divided from the clear promises and commands of Scripture? Where did I divide? I want peace. A divided heart and head with us, within us, will usually divide people from us. If I'm not at peace within me, it's very likely at some point I'm going to get in a mess with you. It's just the way it goes. If I'm not at peace within, I'm going to react to circumstances and people, usually in a way that shows I'm disturbed. If my heart craves something besides Christ and I think you stand between me and that thing, there's going to be stress between us. Let me say that again. If I'm desiring something besides Christ and I think you stand between me and what I desire, whether it's verbal or it's quiet, whether it's spoken or unspoken, there's going to be a sense of stress there. Here's the way James says it. James 4:1. What's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body? What he's saying is, many times the beginning of losing peace is when we want something and there's something stands in our way, and it creates stress, and we lose peace. The third thing is this: true peace impacts relationships. True peace impacts relationships. When we're in harmony with Christ, we can be in harmony, as I said a moment ago, with self and others. Peacemakers are those who are called to de-escalate conflict and build bridges, to tear down walls and build bridges. That's what peacemakers do. We tear down barriers that divide people, and we build bridges. Let me tell you several things that peacemaking is not. This is important for us being Americans today, by the way. We're not just talking about me feeling disturbance in my own heart. We're not just talking about conflict at home or conflict at church or conflict at work. Talking about conflict in our nation too today. How do we handle the division in our nation? How do we handle the rancor and the anger and the vitriol and all the poison that's being shot at this side against that side? How do we as believers handle this? Let me just tell you a few things peacemaking is not. Peacemaking is not ignoring walls or washed out bridges. It's not acting like everything should just be okay. No, there are serious divisions in our nation, and sometimes there are serious divisions within our own hearts, in our families, in our church, at work. There's serious divisions. Peacemaking is not acting like there's no walls. That's not peacemaking. Just ignoring the walls and the bridges that should be there to connect us, but they've been washed out. It reminds me of a story, and I don't know where this was. It was on the coast somewhere. I think David Woodrow told me one time where this was, because we talked about this. There was a long bridge that spanned a bay or something, and a hurricane or something washed it out. And this man saw it and came to a stop on the edge of it. And he ran back up the freeway waving, trying to get people to stop, and waved at a tour bus. And they thought he was just crazy, and they blew on by him and ran into the bay. Peacemaking is not acting like the bridge is still okay. Peacemaking is not acting like that crack's not in that bridge over the Mississippi River. That's not peacemaking. Peacemaking says, I acknowledge the walls between us. I acknowledge the bridge that should connect us is don't exist, but I'm willing to build one. Peacemaking is not compromising biblical convictions. I will say this to you, and I know this is true. There are people in our nation, they are demanding that Christians ditch our biblical morality and our biblical convictions about the realities and the truth of life. And that's the only way they will allow the cessation of conflict. Abandoning your biblical, I'm not talking about your preferences here. I'm not talking about your personal convictions about how you apply a certain thing. I'm talking about clearly stated scripture. Conceding that just to keep the peace is no peace. It's not real peace, because it's built on a lie. And you will never build true wholeness on a lie. You never will. So sticking to our biblical convictions is not the opposite of peacemaking. We can be peacemakers without caving in to our conviction that the Bible is our rule of faith and practice, and that it is the absolute inspired Word of God. Amen? One more thing peacemaking is not. It's not appeasement. God has not called us to pursue peace at any price. He has not called us to pursue a lack of conflict with our culture at any price. He has not called us to that, and that is not what He's saying in this beatitude. He is not saying, just appease the world. Just give them what they want and go along to get along. That is not biblical peacemaking. Because all it does is institutionalize the fracture, and wholeness becomes an impossibility. A peacemaker shooting for wholeness. And we know there's no true wholeness aside from the truths of God's Word. So He's not calling us to just appease a movement or appease an opinion or appease a group of people to have the cessation of conflict at any cost. Next week's beatitude is blessed are the persecuted. Do you really think that anybody would ever be persecuted for Christ's sake if they abandon all of Christ's teachings? No. So, I'm about done. I want the worship team to come back to the stage if you would. Peacemaking is expensive. Building bridges is expensive. Tearing down walls is expensive, and it's scary, and it can be painful. What is the pain? What is the expense of being a peacemaker? The pain of forgiving. The pain of conceding some privilege or some opinions. The pain of having to speak the truth, knowing that there will be pushback. All of those things are part of the pain of building bridges between people. Peace is expensive. We're supposed to be working for a win-win, as they would say in business language. The problem is that most of the time requires somebody to die to self. Just hear me. Rarely will there ever be any peace brought where there has been war. Rarely will there ever be peace promoted and wholeness regained without somebody dying to their own selfish agenda. True peace requires someone dying to self. It requires mutual submission and appreciation. It requires accepting others' faults while focusing on their value, just like Jesus did for us. Remember? Anybody remember the old song, He looked beyond my fault and saw my need? And I add, He saw my value. Here's what Paul told the Philippian church, Philippians 2:2. He said, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you read the rest of that, you'll find out He had the attitude of, I'm here to serve, and I'm here to bring peace. And I'm here to die in your place for you. So what's the payoff for paying the price for peace as a peacemaker? Well, number one is, it's access to Jesus and Christlikeness in our own lives. When we become a peacemaker, the Scripture says we are called the sons of God, the children of God. When we're working for wholeness, biblical repair of fractures within and among us, when we're working for that, The Bible's really saying we're a whole lot like Jesus. How many of you would say, I want to be more like Jesus? I mean, really? I do. The other benefit is this. If we walk in peace with one another and we promote wholeness and togetherness and unity, as Paul just encouraged us, I get the benefit of all the great things in your life, because we're all one. And I gain the benefit of your creativity. I gain the benefit of your beauty. I gain the benefit of your intelligence. I gain the benefit of your support and encouragement. That's the benefits of peace. And He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to have wholeness together. I wrote something and put it under the glass on my desk. It was back in November when I was praying about this year. I went off for 2 or 3 days and prayed, God, what do you want to do in 2021? And one of the things I felt like God put in my heart was, I can't quote it exactly, but it was something to this effect. Help us show the world your kind of love, because it's what they need, even if it gets us killed. The world needs to see a group of people that have something they can't have aside from Jesus Christ. The world needs to see peace, wholeness in God's people as a group, not just as individuals. But what they do need to see is when everybody else is freaking out at your job, you've got peace. They need to see that. Your children need to see that. Your grandchildren need to see that. Your spouse needs to see that. They need to see that at the work. They need to see that at school. When everybody else is freaking out of all the things that are coming against and tearing and destroying and bringing that, they need to see the peace of Jesus in us, coupled with love. It's like the hurricanes going on out here. But they need to be able to look at the church as a group of people and go, there's peace in there. I don't mean in the building. I mean in our relationship. Is there anything going on here that would require the divine intervention of Jesus to explain? I believe there is. He wants that to be a testimony to the world. There is peace. Amen. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Those of you that have joined us online, I just want to say to you, if you don't have peace, Jesus is your peace. Surrender your life to Him. If you've not done that, what you have to do is you have to say, I recognize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm lost without You. I can't change myself. I can't make me what I need to be. I can't create peace in my own heart, but You can. And so I surrender to You, and I'm going to lean on You, and I'm going to put You at the center of everything, because I believe You are my peace, and You are my forgiveness, and You are my life. You're my wholeness. You're my Savior, and I want You to be Lord of my life. I challenge you to do that. If that's where you're at in your heart, you can simply talk to Him and say, that's what I want. I want You to be Lord and Savior. I want You to forgive my sin. I want You to give me Your life. I want You to take the conflict out of my soul and put Your peace inside me. And we believe He'll do that as you do that. And we ask You to fill out the thing at the bottom there and let us know the decision you've made to respond to the Spirit of God, because He's dealing with you. You feel that rapid thing going on in your chest, and it's the Spirit of God saying, I love you. I want you. Respond to the truth. If you do that, we want to help you. So fill out the response thing. I just want to ask you, is there anybody here today? You're not sure you have peace with God. You're not sure your sins are forgiven. You're not sure that you have eternal life. You're not sure that Christ is your Savior. You're not sure, but you want to be. Anybody? I'm looking for your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Here's what I want us to do. If you don't have peace, and I'm not talking about you're not a follower of Jesus. I just mean there's disturbance in your soul and you want Jesus to make you whole in that regard. Whatever that is, I just want you to stand to your feet right now. There's a disturbance in your soul and you want Jesus to show you what He wants to do with it. I just want you to stand to your feet. Anybody, just stand up. There's one. Anybody else? There's two. Anybody else? You're disturbed in your soul and you need Jesus to be the peacemaker in your heart. Now, the rest of you, you want to be able to demonstrate peace to others and bring peace to their lives, bring peace to your circumstance, bring peace to whatever circumstances you're in. You want to be a peacemaker, a partner with God in bringing peace. I just want you to stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. That's what you want to be that. You want to be that. I'm assuming that everybody would want to be that, but if you don't, that's okay. Sit down. No judgment here. Wherever you're at, that's where you're at, and Jesus will meet you where you're at. Would you raise your hands to heaven right now? Let's pray. Father, we ask you, make us peacemakers. God, bring peace to our soul. Help us be totally whole in our trust and faith in you. Lord God, may we be totally surrendered to you so there is no argument in our hearts. There is no conflict between our heart and our head. There is no conflict within us that would ruin our peace. Oh God, we want to be whole. We want to be one with you. We want to be unified with every truth about you. We want our head and our heart to line up with who you are, what you've promised, God, what you desire of us. We want to walk with you in perfect peace. That was your promise for us, that in you we have peace. And we claim that promise today. But Lord, we go one step further and we ask you, help us be people of peace. Help us be peacemakers. Help us bring calmness and clarity and wisdom and love and forgiveness to the circumstances we find ourselves, whether it's our family or it's our job or it's school or it's a group of friends, Lord, or it's the church. Help us be people that promote peace, who tear down walls that don't have to be there and build bridges that have been washed out by disappointment or offense. Lord, we ask you, let us be those people that promote peace, not abandoning our biblical convictions. Lord, not peace at any cost, but peace at cost to us, if that's what is needed. May we be those people, Lord. Give us that grace. Give us that grace. Help us be people that promote and prepare for and nurture togetherness, that nurture bridge building, that nurture reaching out and including, that nurture, oh God, without abandoning our convictions. May we represent you well as we go out into America that's divided today. May that be our legacy, oh God, that we loved, that we walked in peace, and that we stood our ground on truth all at the same time. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? I want to just read Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Here's my blessing for you today. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you say amen to that? Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.